gold, a king is born today. Incense, God is with us. Myrrh, that's coming on Sunday morning. His death will make a way. By his blood, he'll win us. How would you finish this sentence? How would you finish this sentence? Christmas is mega. Christmas is mega. We may say that Christmas is mega busy. We may say that Christmas is mega expensive, even with the mega sales. We may say Christmas is mega exhausting. We may say, as I've heard already this morning, Christmas is mega fun, mega exciting. We might say Christmas is mega difficult. We might say Christmas is mega disappointing. But this morning I want you to notice that when the angels came to the shepherds in Bethlehem, they said that the birth of Jesus was literally mega joy. They said it's good news of great, which is mega, joy. Christmas is about a mega joy. And it still is, even if Christmas time for us is difficult and disappointing. All of us know something of joy in our lives. We know a lot about sorrow too. But joy is that immense delight on account of something that's especially good or satisfying. That immense delight. We may express it very differently, some with a sigh and an inward smile, others very lavishly. But it's an immense inner joy. And at some stage in your life, you will have known something, I'm sure, of Christmas joy. Maybe you're a teacher and it's come to the end of a long term. Joy. Maybe later on today, it'll be your first taste this year of Brussels sprouts. Joy. Maybe you like to hear Handel's Messiah being played and sung at Christmas. Joy. Maybe you've received the present you've always wanted. Joy. Maybe the way your Christmas cake has turned out this year, you're really pleased. Joy. Maybe you're going to see someone that you've not seen for a long time. Maybe because the nights are getting shorter. Maybe because the signs of spring are almost here already. You know what joy is. But I want to ask you this morning, do you know the joy, the immense delight that accompanies Christ coming into the world 2,000 years ago? Have you ever known that joy? And even maybe if Christmas is difficult for you this year, I'm going to remind you, not belittling the difficulties at all, of the joy that you still know and is not eclipsed. Have you discovered this joy? You see, we're looking this morning at the word spoken by the angels to the shepherds. It's just after Jesus has been born. He, of course, has long promised from generations previously. His birth was announced beforehand, wasn't it? To Mary and Joseph by angels too. But now in our verse this morning, it's being announced afterwards by the angels to the local shepherds. And the angels say six things. Number one, don't be afraid. They were terrified. And so would you and I have been, had an angel of the Lord come to us. The second thing the angels say is, behold, it's a word used to draw attention to something significant. Come on, guys, listen to this. Don't be afraid. Behold, this deserves your full attention, as it does this morning. Then, just one word, I'm bringing a well message. It's just one word, I'm bringing you good tidings. The message is of mega joy. It's of a joy that is mega, and it's for all the people. So whoever you are this morning, whatever your name, whatever your age, you can't exempt yourself from this, because it says all. So you are wonderfully included this morning. And the good news is, a saviour. And this is good news that brings joy. So I want simply to speak about a saviour this morning. Have you grasped what Christianity is about? The heart of Christianity is the coming into the world of a saviour. At times I'm going to refer to him this morning to try and help you as a rescuer. A saviour is a rescuer. It's one who rescues. Have you settled in your mind that Christianity is a rescue religion? It's a religion in which people like me and you can be rescued from our sins. The Christian message is not never was and never will be. Try your best and God may probably forgive you. That is not the Christian message. The Christian message is about how stranded, helpless people like me, like you, get rescued. And to enjoy this mega joy, we have to know that that's the message. It's not about trying your best. We have to believe the message, and then we have to trust in Jesus and be rescued by him. We must be rescued by him to know this joy. Not simply to know about it. Not simply to recognize it in our minds and believe that it's true. More than that, we have to have been rescued ourselves. Have you? We spend just a little bit of time convincing you, if I may. Many of you will know already. It's a rescue religion. It rescues people. He saves. He's a saviour. They were told to name him Jesus because he would, what's the next word? Call him Jesus because he will save, rescue his people. He will save his people from their sins. The good message of great joy is there is born to you in the town of Bethlehem today a saviour. Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners. He's a saviour. He's a salvation offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. If you love your Christmas carols, that's what they say too. Our first hymn this morning, Christians awake, salute the happy morn, whereon the saviour of the world was born. Next verse, I bring good tidings of a saviour's birth. This day is born a saviour. Jesus Christ is a saviour. Once in Royal David's city, we read of one who lived on earth, our saviour. Holy. See amid the winter snow, tells us of a saviour's birth. Silent night, we sing Christ the saviour is born. Lord, you are rich beyond all splendour, we sing Saviour and King, we worship you. Last one. While shepherds watched, we sing to you in David's town. This day is born of David's line a Saviour, Christ the Lord. So you see, don't you? Christianity is a rescue religion. The Bible says he's come as a Saviour. And you know, don't you, what a rescue is. You could describe a rescue. I've been reminded of one this week. It took place, well, the disaster took place on the 5th of August, 2010, 14 years ago. It took place in a copper mine in the Atacama Desert in Chile. I'm sure you remember it. A mine collapsed and 33 men were trapped in darkness. No chance of them finding their way back to the entrance. They were 700 metres down. They were 5 kilometres from the entrance. And the relatives and the world, in fact, feared that there was no hope. They were trapped. The way out was blocked. The mine was too deep. They had no food, no water. It all pointed to a terribly sad end. There was a second rock fall 2 days later. Attempts were made and they came across other blocked mine shafts. And there was nothing the 33 could do but wait for death. Or a rescue. It wasn't in their hands. And a bold rescue attempt was launched for the stranded men, starting not from where they were, but from up above, on the surface. Drills were borne through the desert. And eventually a hole, fairly narrow hole, was made all the way down. And after meticulous planning, recognizing many risks, a rescue capsule by the name of Phoenix was lowered and sent down the 700 meters to the men who otherwise would have perished. And after 1, 2, 3 days, 20 days, a month, 2 months, no. After 69 days, Phoenix arrived. And on the 13th of October, 5.3 million people watched as one by one, men stepped into their rescue capsule and were delivered to the surface, where, surprise, surprise, they met with jubilation and shouts of joy and triumph. They were all set to perish. There was nothing they could do. But somebody came to them. Now, I found that doubly interesting this week because in the same year, in the same month, the entire city of New Orleans was under floodwater. And people were perishing. And Coast Guard Lieutenant Ian McConnell was ordered to fly his H-46 helicopter to the city round the clock to rescue people who otherwise would perish. And on his first three missions, he saved quite a number of creatures. 89 people, 3 dogs and 2 cats. On his fourth mission, he rescued nobody. He found lots of people. But by then, they all refused to board his helicopter and they simply asked him to go away and bring them food and water. They were warned, but they treated the situation too lightly and they perished. They didn't heed the warning. They didn't step into the helicopter. Sometimes with the children, we've shown rescues on screen on a Sunday morning by Cammy Wilson, who's a shepherd up in Ayrshire in Scotland. Lost sheep get reported to Cammy Wilson. I'm sure his wife is delighted. And one particularly, I remember, her name was Fiona. That's not his wife, that's the sheep. Was found at the bottom of an 820-foot cliff. And they said, well, she's got enough to eat down there. She might make her own way home at some point. And for 2 years, she didn't. And so in the end, Cammy, the good shepherd, went down 820 feet, put up a winch at the top and a pulley system and went down and rescued Fiona. Came back to much joy. You know what a rescue is. You know what a rescue is. The SS Dorchester was a troop ship during World War II. Last example. On February the 3rd, 1943, at exactly 1:05, the vessel was torpedoed by a German submarine, and only 230 of the 904 men aboard were rescued. 674 perished. But I add this example because as life jackets were passed out to the men, the supply ran out before each man had one. But the now famous 4 chaplains who were on board removed their own life jackets and gave them to others. And of the 230 who were saved, 4 owe their lives to the 4 chaplains who paid the ultimate sacrifice that others might live. The sacrifice of the 4 led to the saving of 4 others. Come on. You know what a rescue is. You know what it is to be saved from the flames, from drowning at the sea. We know that Jesus is a saviour, is a rescuer. He is someone who rescues others. With meticulous planning, God launched a loving and brave and costly rescue mission for lost sinners like me and like you. The message of Christmas is that God came down from above into the depths of this world to rescue us. Jesus himself is the rescue capsule. And when we trust him and his care, he lifts us up inch by inch, moment by moment, one by one, and he saves us. And he saves us from our sin. The Bible says that we are cut off from our life support system that is God. That we are cut off and stranded by our sin, facing death. The situation is much worse than being 700 metres down a mine or being torpedoed by a German submarine. The Bible says we all, another all, which means you and me, we all like sheep have gone astray. By our sin we've all forfeited eternal life. The Bible says we are stranded, undeserving, helpless, facing a never-ending penalty described as a torment, which one day we will face, then knowing that it's too late, the door is shut, there's a great chasm between us and where we would now rather be. We're perishing. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And into this dark and sinful world comes the light, who is no one less than God as man, to live a perfect, unblemished life and to lay down his life, yes, the good shepherd for the sheep. Who in love for the likes of me and you goes to the cross to face the torment for us and in his death to be the life jacket by which we are saved if we trust him. Here we are, proud of ourselves, yet we've forfeited life. We're cut off from God. We're stranded. We're undeserving. We're helpless. We're awaiting an endless torment. And a loving light comes into the world to rescue us by cancelling our sin through his death. And to bring us to everlasting life. This morning, will you please heed the warning, the gravity of the situation, and be delivered to the surface, out of the darkness, out of sin, to jubilation and joy. You can be saved. Youngsters, you probably remember this from last year. It was our memory verse at one point. It's what we're looking at this morning. Remember it? Yeah. Don't be afraid. I'll bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. They were the shepherds. Remember? Terrified. But it's good news for you. And it's a mega joy for all people. You could be in one of these pictures. For all people. Anyone who would believe. So there we have it. Don't be afraid. Good news, great joy, all people. And the news is a saviour. Somebody who stops an otherwise certain outcome. A saviour, a rescuer. And the Bible says that our rescuer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a marvellous verse, isn't it? He's a saviour. Have you been rescued by him? Before we finish, it's mega joy. It's mega joy, which will be a different feeling for different people. But we all know something of joy, an immense delight and gladness on account of something exceptionally good and satisfying. The miners experienced joy when they were delivered. A Christian experiences joy because we have truly been delivered from sin and death and Satan and hell It's no less real than one of the Chilean miners being saved from their darkness. It's more real. We have been rescued. And there is a joy in it from start to finish. What motivated Jesus to come and go to the cross? It was for the joy set before him. The joy of gathering in his people. Hear more of that next Sunday morning. Come along, 10:30. Of gathering in his people at the end of time. For that joy, Jesus went to the cross. True Christianity is marked by joy. The words joy, rejoice, or joyful appear in the Bible 430 times. Joy is a mark of the Christian's faith. It's an essential. Good news, a great joy for all the people. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with great delight. When Jesus rose from the dead, the women left the tomb with great joy. They met Jesus. He gave them one command. It was one word. He told them to rejoice. His rising from the dead is the source of great rejoicing. That evening, the disciples were together without Thomas. The disciples were, we read, overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Maybe you're going to see somebody today. Maybe you've seen them already. You're overjoyed at seeing them. When the disciples saw the risen Jesus, they were overjoyed. Just after they saw him ascend into heaven, we read, they returned to Jerusalem with mega joy. The Bible says that becoming a Christian is like discovering the treasure that's hidden in a field, and you sell everything you have to buy the field for joy, it says. You'd get rid of everything to have this treasure of the gospel of Jesus, and so for joy you'd abandon everything to have Jesus. Maybe you went down this morning and there's a lovely little gift there and it's got your name on it. I've advised everybody to check name tags before they rip off paper this year. Is it for you? Is your name on it for you? The Bible says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh, I'm dead chuffed that my name's written on that name tag. Oh, yeah, but aren't you rejoicing this morning if you know that your name is written in heaven? Do you remember that moment when you came to faith? Perhaps you don't. The angels do, because on that moment there was rejoicing in the presence of God when you repented of your sin. It's joy. It's a remarkable deliverance. Are you pleased when somebody else opens a present this Christmas and you see them really rejoicing in having found something new? Well, the Bible says the experience of a believer seeing other people come to faith causes great joy. When you see other people come to know Jesus Christ, there's a great joy. When the gospel advanced in Antioch, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. Your joy may be full." Friends, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit, Paul tells the church at Rome. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Love, joy, peace, patience. The psalmist says of God, "He's my exceeding joy." That's true for you this morning if you're a believer. Your exceeding joy is God. In his presence we read this fullness of joy. We're going to one day enter into that. We're commanded, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Peter says, though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with a joy that frankly is unspeakable. Paul says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God where we're going. We rejoice when we're reviled and persecuted. We rejoice when we are counted worthy to suffer. We're to count it all joy whenever we fall into various trials. And maybe for you, this is a sad season at the moment. And maybe you could find a sense of echo in your own heart from these words. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine. Though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there are no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And even if your joy is eclipsed at the moment, if you are a believer, then he will present you faultless one day and with great joy before his glorious presence. He will present you, and I think the joy is his joy. I'm sure yours will be great too. He's going to present you faultless with great joy. We're told, aren't we, to enter into the joy of the Lord. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's an immense delight in having been delivered by Jesus from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And I could go on, but I won't. To tell you how this rescuer proves to you that God is both faithful and loving. You can trust him. You can know his love. But I just close with this for this morning. You know what a rescue is. Jesus is a rescuer from sin and death and Satan and hell. Won't you be rescued? What's stopping you admitting the problem, stopping dealing lightly with the real issue? What's stopping you admitting that you are not the solution, your heart is the problem? What's stopping you abandoning your own efforts and admitting that Jesus is the solution? He is the only rescuer. He is the only one in whom you will find forgiveness and joy and peace. And so you turn to him. You abandon your unbelief and your resistance, your indifference, your trusting in your own works. And you trust Jesus. What's stopping you from doing that this morning? It's good news. And it's for all. It's good news, and it's for all. And whoever you are this morning, you are part of the all. So won't you come? Won't you lay aside your rebellion, your hostility, and come to this wonderful Saviour who alone can save you? And if you're a Christian, whatever your circumstances, quietly or loudly, rejoice. Rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you feel your deficiency of joy, then go to him. And ask him to have great mercy upon you and to make the reality and its joy more deeply known to you. Go to him. Pour out your heart to him. Ask him to have mercy upon you, that whatever your circumstances in 2025, you'd know more of this mega joy. Don't be afraid. Good news. Mega joy. A saviour. Christ Jesus. Believe him. Rejoice in him.